I want you to just notice the text is provided on the screen if you didn't bring your Bible. Praise the Lord. Now, you got to get with me today because according to my clock in Dublin the last few days, it's 4 p.m. over there. So I've been up away a while and we're ready to go. So let's get it in gear. All right. Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. If you're there, say amen. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Every time we give it out, we're bound to offer thanks. And thank you for the clarity of truth. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that is declared this morning can be truth applied. Don't let us get caught up in the system in which we live. Don't let us be defined by the things that define this unregenerate world. Let us be, in every sense, a kingdom people who give our lives selflessly, sacrificially, for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we serve with our whole hearts, with our whole lives, because you are worthy. Enable us to do just that by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Somebody say it, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of choosing sides. Choosing sides. I thought it interesting when we read the speeches of historical kings, presidents, generals, in particular, more so the writ in the times of war, we discover an interesting connection between them all, and most of them is this, that those leaders tried to mobilize their armies with the promise, God is on our side. One of the most classic examples of this is the slogan used by the Germans in their 20th century wars against the Allies. The phrase, "Gott mit uns," or "God with us." It appeared in their speeches multiple times. It was even attached to many of the helmets of the German soldiers. Many nations have justified their actions with that phrase, haven't they? If we study the inaugural addresses of even our presidents, we will see that frequent reference is made to that phrase, God is on our side. And oftentimes we can rationalize our behavior by deceiving ourselves into thinking that God is on our side. But I like Abraham Lincoln. He had it right, I feel, when facing the dilemma of the Civil War. And both sides, the North and the South, were claiming that God was helping them and that God was on their side. Lincoln's response was this. He said, "The key is not whether God is on my side, but whether I am on God's side." Now, I don't claim to be a scholar, but I have learned to be discerning in my choices. I try to be. I have learned that life is greatly enhanced whenever we choose our sides wisely. Is that not true? And I've noticed lately that there seems to be an awful lot of people who don't give much thought to the side they are on. And as a result, they often not only damage their own lives, but they also damage the lives of many others. For example, we find this true in our nation's policies many different times. For example, I believe it has led to 54 million babies having their lives removed from this world. I have also noted that how often people make very poor choices when choosing sides in faith and religious conviction. And many of them say they love God, but they don't always agree with his instructions and guidelines. So they choose the side of the devil by default. Is that not right? And they wonder why they're so miserable. And as a nation, since we are experiencing regret from some of the poor choices that we've made in the past, maybe it's time we pay attention to whose side we're on. If we find out that we are not on God's side, then we must change some things or continue to suffer for being on the wrong side. For God is always on the right side and He never changes sides. Right? So Moses' question is this: whose side are we on? Turn to your neighbor and ask him that. Whose side are you on? Joshua, he said this in 24:15. He said, as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. He saw the importance of choosing sides. And truth be told, throughout life, I've noticed I'm always making choices. You're always making choices. I made the choice to put on a pink tie this morning. Huh? Whether it be our faith, our relationship with Christ, or whether we choose sides in the sports world, or whether we choose sides in political issues, or a host of other things, the question comes to us daily, sometimes more than once a day, whose side are you on? And so there are times in life when we need to choose sides, and even though some of us don't like to choose sides, we would rather straddle the fence. How many has ever heard that phrase? Or take the middle of the road. But there are certain times when we have to take a stand and choose our side. For example, if you are in the military, okay, and you find yourself in the middle of a battle, you better know whose side you're on. Can I hear an amen? Now, there is no more important issue of choosing sides than when it comes to the relationship with Christ. And so here I want one of the questions here. I think one of the greatest questions in all the Bible is this right in this verse. Who is on the Lord's side? The greatest question in Scripture. And it's not, is God on our side? It is, are we on God's side? And a little background, this question, let me catch up to speed here in the text, because this question was asked by Moses when he came down from the mountain after having received the Ten Commandments. Now, what Moses saw when he came down from the mountain angered him and infuriated him, and rightfully so, because the Israelites, whom he had loved and whom he had led, okay, were making a choice. They were choosing to serve a tangible God of gold rather than a spiritual God of glory. And God's children were worshiping this golden calf, behaving immorally. Even Aaron, Moses' brother, was caught up in this sinful and shameful scene. And actually, it's not hard. I was thinking and trying to put myself in Aaron's sandals, so to speak, because I think it would not be hard to get caught up in the crowd like many do today and actually think that it's going to be okay. They're going to serve the Lord today. Paul told Titus that in the last days, many religious people will claim to be on the Lord's side. And Christ warned, I think it's in Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount, he said, not everyone that says unto me what? Lord, Lord, I did this or I did that. But the Lord would say, depart from me, I never knew you. So the question is, who is really on the Lord's side today? We can't judge by what people claim. How many know that's true? You can't judge by what people claim. We rather see what they do, because our actions always speak louder than our words. And so the Lord's earthly brother, I think it was James, he said in James 1:22, we are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So this morning, I want to share with you about four characteristics of those that I feel we can determine if we're on the Lord's side or not. Okay, four characteristics of those who are on the Lord's side. Number one, those who will stand on the truth. Number two, those who are satisfied with the truth. Number three, those who will speak for the truth. And finally, those who are saved by the truth. Okay, I gave them to you all kind of in a shotgun shell there, but now I want us to break each one of them down a little separately, make it more easily processed. Those who stand on the truth. Number one, the first characteristic you know you're on the Lord's side is those who will stand on the truth. I want you to notice something about the text. Israel had turned their backs on the God who had brought them out of bondage. Okay, He opened the Red Sea, Scripture says. He led them through it. He defeated the enemies. Now they are refusing to stand on the truth that He is God and God alone. Now, truth be told, our generation oftentimes have the same problem because we say we love the truth, but often we don't stand on the truth. We quickly kind of compromise on matters of faith and doctrine. And in Psalm 119, though, it says we are to hate every false way. Can I have an amen? Paul tells us, stand against the forces of evil in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, stand therefore. Now, there's really no room, in other words, Paul is saying, for compromise. There's no room for any kind of give and take when it comes to the truth. How many believe that you have known the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you hear an amen? Now, Christ said, he who is not with me is against me. Matthew like 12 and verse 30. And I began to think about this sermon, this passage of Scripture, and I looked at the ecclesiastical calendar of our church world here in America and found out that today is Pulpit Freedom Sunday. Okay? And more than 1,000 pastors, I think around 1,100, have signed up across the U.S. and are speaking out on the issues, mainly one issue that our nation is facing this year and actually this month. It's and so pastors, we are defending the biblical model of marriage this weekend as part of Pulpit Freedom Sunday. We're addressing this topic because the U.S. Supreme Court prepares this month to rule on two cases that could result in the redefinition of legal marriage here in the United States. And this Pulpit Freedom Sunday is a call for a commitment to the strengthening of individual marriages and of marriage as an institution ordained by God. You know, I was thinking, first of all, may God bless the elected officials who are committed to the biblical definition of marriage. And may we pray for them. May we support them. And because, friends, the Bible has not changed. The Bible has not changed. God's Word remains true that homosexual behavior is still wrong and that marriage is a God, is as God Himself defined it in the beginning of the pages of Scripture, which is to be between one man and one woman only. Okay? Public opinion cannot change that. Amen. Rather, that truth must be proclaimed, it must be believed, it must be obeyed, and we need to be reminded what marriage is and why it should remain as God defined it and intended for it to be. God ordained the institution of marriage and the family, so it's up to us to speak out for them and stand on the truth. A study released just this past Thursday. Get this. Just this past Thursday by the Pew Research Center found that 72% of Americans now believe that the legal recognition of same-sex marriage is inevitable. Okay? Compared to 59% who believed the same was true in 2004. So you can see the direction we are going in just a few years. And of those who oppose the legalization of gay marriage, 59% say it is inevitable. Now, granted, we don't know what the future holds, but regardless of what the Supreme Court's opinion is on marriage when it gets handed down at the end of this month of June, that is not going to change the biblical truth of what God's Word declares. So let's choose to be on God's side when it comes to defining marriage. Can I have an amen? And notice this, because, oh church, the devil is attacking the fabric of the family, and we must stand on the Word of God and claim it. Listen, it's not by might nor by our power, but it's by the Spirit of the power of God that enables us to stand on the truth. Praise God. The second characteristic on being on the Lord's side is this. Not only those who are going to stand on the truth, but those who are satisfied with the truth. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm satisfied with the truth. I want you to see in Scripture, all right, the children of Israel were never satisfied. Were they? From the moment they left Egypt,
All they did was what?
Complain. Here in our text, their complaint was that Moses is not going to come back from the mountain. He must have died. So they go to Aaron and they get his cooperation to make a golden calf. Notice what he did in Exodus 32, 1 through 5. He declares, "Tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord." And I looked at that and I said, "So Aaron, it's okay to have a feast unto the idol as long as you schedule a feast to the Lord tomorrow." Yeah. As God's people today, we need to be satisfied with the simple truth of the gospel. Too often we're like the Galatians when Paul said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into His grace." And you're removed, he said, into another gospel. When we are satisfied with the truth, we're not going to look for any other options. It never fails to humor me. I hope I'm not running a rabbit trail here, but it never fails to humor me when folks ignore the certainties of the gospel and get all wrapped up in the mysteries surrounding the gospel. My philosophy is the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. Hello, did you get that? We will not clamor for change and seek to have things our own way when we find ourselves satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has already revealed to us, Paul said, everything that pertains unto life and godliness. So why chase after all the shadows when we can already embrace the substance of Jesus Christ? Israel worshiped this golden calf in the name of the Lord. It was actually an insult to God Jehovah. The Bible says they sat down to eat and drink and then rose up to play. But Exodus 23 and 4, God had already said, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me." See, church, false worship always leads to worldly and sinful behavior. And that is why we must worship God, as Jesus told the woman of Samaria. He said, "You must worship in spirit and in truth." It doesn't matter whether you worship in the mountain or in the plain, or in this temple or in that temple, or this church or that church. He said, "You must worship in spirit and in truth and be satisfied with that." That's in John 4:24. I'm glad I've found the truth, and I find this truth satisfying. Can I have an amen? I said, I find this truth satisfying. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm satisfied with Jesus." You ready to go to number three? Oh, what time is it? Brother Smith would already be done. Number three. Those who will speak for the truth. Now notice this. When Moses confronted his brother Aaron, what did Aaron start doing? Playing the blame game. The truth is, Aaron was to blame as well. He encouraged, he cooperated with the wishes of the people instead of speaking the truth to them and warning them against what they wanted to do. That's the sin of weak leadership. And it's a plague in our land today. Because so many of our leaders' values have a price tag on them. And they can be bought off. Hello. Weak leadership. We find a refusal to accept personal responsibility when mistakes are made in our culture. Verse 35 says, Aaron made the calf. All right? "Oh, you know, I just received all the earrings and threw them in the fire and abracadabra. Out came this calf." Moses didn't buy that. God help us today to take responsibility for choosing which side we are on. Today, our generation has been marked by dishonesty, marked by deceit, marked by attempts to blame everybody else, blaming mom and dad or grandma and grandpa for our wrongs and our ills. Listen, when we do wrong, let's have the courage to admit the wrong and seek repentance and then share in the forgiveness and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. How many has ever been forgiven? Pray. praise God. Isn't it a wonderful feeling? Oh, thank God. Those who are on the Lord's side are those who are not afraid to confess and say, Lord, I blew it. I messed up. I'm coming back to the cross and I'm seeking restoration and I'm seeking personal revival and renewal. Lord, give us a generation with backbone that cannot be bought off, but will speak for the truth. I remember reading in history when Martin Luther was in the middle of the Reformation with the Pope coming to him and actually trying to bring him back to the Catholic Church. The Pope, history says, sent a well-respected cardinal to go and deal with Luther and try to buy him back to the Catholic Church with gold. After Luther refused the offer, the cardinal wrote back to the Pope and said, "This fool doesn't even like gold." And that cardinal tried to convince Luther and make him fear for his life by saying things like, "Luther, you know the Pope's little finger is stronger than all of Germany. And you don't have anyone to defend you. So where are you going to be if the Pope comes after you again?" You know what Luther looked at that cardinal and history says he replied and said, he told the cardinal, he said, "I'm going to be in the hands of an almighty God right where I am right now. If we speak the truth, we will find ourselves in the safest place." Huh? And that is in the hands of a powerful, omniscient God. You know, some people long for approval. Some people long or live to shock and offend others. Either way, the thought is, what will other people think? What will other people... And you know, some people never step into the realm of courage for fear of what others will think. And some worry so much what others think of them that they have no time to worry about something that's important, and that's obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us a generation who will speak the truth. William Gurnall once said this. He said, "We fear men so much because we fear God so little." And that is so true. Finally, number five. I'm trying to hurry. No, number four. And this is the final point. Those who are saved by the truth. Moses pleaded to God for the people's sins. They needed to be saved by the truth. These were God's people. Choosing forgiveness of sins was their greatest need. How many know that's probably our greatest need in America? As Moses stood at the entrance to the camp, I want you to picture in his mind, he shouted, the Bible says, and he said, "All of you who are on the Lord's side, come and join me." And the scripture says that all the Levites gathered around him. Thank God for the Levites. And that's a whole nother message, and maybe we'll share it some other time. How one decision there determined their destination. Church, we are rescued when we choose to obey the truth and go stand with the Lord Jesus Christ on His side. The truth is the Word of God, which teaches that one must believe. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. Repent, confess, be baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Any other way to come into the fold or the kingdom of God is a false way, church. It's a false way. It's not the truth. It will not save. The way of truth is a narrow way, the Bible says. But guess what? It's the right way. Oh, aren't you glad you found that way? There are two gates, narrow and broad. There are two ways, life and death. There are two kinds of fruits, good fruit and rotten fruit. There are two kinds of people in Scripture, wise and foolish. There are two foundations, Jesus said, the rock or the sand. There are two kinds of homes, those that will stand and those that will fall. There are different types of crowds out there. How many has ever noticed that? You got to be careful what crowd you're with. Huh? I said, you got to be careful which side you're on. I'm reminded of a gentleman that
He was deaf and he was dumb. Mute. But he still attended church every Sunday. And his neighbor asked him, said, I guess through sign language or, I don't know, writing or something, asked him, said, you can't hear anything at the worship service, so why do you even attend? And he responded and he said, as he wrote back, he said, I want my neighbors to know whose side I'm on. Hello. Listen, church, there's different sides out there, and it all boils down to a couple different sides. Be sure you belong on the right side. There are some wrong sides in this life. I've seen the sinful side. How many can say amen? I've seen the silent side. I've seen the sleeping side, the Satan side, scornful side, socializing side, selfish side. But this morning, I choose to be on the saved side. Those who know that they are saved, I choose to be on the sanctified side, live a holy life and strive for heaven. Hello? I choose to be on the serving side. I choose to be on the sowing side. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The fruit of righteousness, Scripture says, is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I want to be on the sowing side. I want to be on the separated side. Can I have an amen? Listen, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I want to be separated holy unto the Lord. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, Paul said, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. I want to be on the steadfast side. As 1 Corinthians says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Listen, friends, we're not doing this for vain. We don't worship in vain. We didn't get up this morning and come to the house of the Lord in vain. We've come here to notice there is a power that you can leave with that'll change your life, change your home, change your situation. Why? When you choose God's side. Raise your hands and tell Him, Lord, I'm on your side. Lord, I'm on your side. Oh, I'm feeling like preaching and it's just time to quit. I said, I want to be on the surrendered side, dead to sin, alive to the Lord Jesus Christ, submitted to the divine will of God. Thank God I've decided. Listen, count me on the winning side. I'm tired of the losing side. I see the winning side this morning. Woo! Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. We've got to decide. We either choose to stand for Jesus or we decide against Him. Let me give you a little clue here today. Jesus' side is the winning side. Woo! Christ showed His strength. Oh, I like that. He showed His strength over Satan by binding the strong man, casting out the demons. Listen, Satan's side is always the losing side. Satan cannot stand against the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that none...
I gotta quit. It's 12 o'clock. God don't move in America after 12 o'clock. Just kidding. Oh, just raise your hands and tell Him, I'm on your side, Jesus. I'm making my decision this morning, Lord. Somebody here, you need to solidify your decision. Huh? It's been a yo-yo in your life. One week, you're serving the Lord. The other week, He's the farthest thing from your mind. I trust, as I get ready to close, I trust that none of us here has committed the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If we had, we probably wouldn't be here today. Hello. So, that means there's still time for you to choose which side you're on. Hello, whose side you on? I pray that you will choose to stand with Christ. And as the musicians come, I want to ask you a serious question. Have you been saved by the truth? That's my last point. Have you been saved by the truth?
If not, then it would be a little hard. It would be a stretch to try to say you're on the Lord's side. No matter what you say, no matter what you think or what you feel, it's what you do that counts. It's what you do that shows whether you're truly on the Lord's side. Where do you stand with the Lord today? Who here will choose to be on His side? Would you just make a new commitment to Him this morning? Maybe you need a refresher in that surrender, that separation. Church, because as I told you, public opinion changes. But aren't you thankful God's Word never changes? As you stand to your feet, Father, oh God, I feel Your presence. Lord, I know You're reaching for somebody here this morning that really needs to choose this morning who they're going to serve. Let them join the Levites this morning by stepping out of their tribe, whatever their tribe is. Maybe it's the tribe of sin. Help them to join the other Levites that have made that decision and have staked that claim, has drawn a line in the sand and said, we're going to serve the Lord and be separated. From the front of this auditorium all the way to the back, Father, don't let a single soul leave this morning without renewing their commitment and choosing Jesus Christ above all else. Oh, I feel His presence, church. Would you begin to pray? Jesus, I love You, Lord. I trust You, Jesus. I trust You, Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. I wonder if you'd step out of your seat and say, Pastor, I'm going to strengthen my decision this morning. And once again, I'm going to choose to be on the side of the winners, which is Jesus Christ. Would you just stand across this front and raise your hands and say, Lord, I want to be committed to You afresh and anew. Father, I know You're here, Lord. I feel You. I sense You. And I know You're here to do a work. There's some that's coming. Would You come? Would You come and say, Lord, I'm choosing the side this morning. I'm choosing. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I'm choosing this morning. That's it. That's it. Just slip out of your seat. Find a place to pray. I'm choosing my side this morning. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've drawn the line in the sand, and I'll not be ashamed. With the world behind me.
And the cross.
That's it, families. Get a new perspective this morning. By coming forward, you're saying, Pastor, I'm choosing to be on the Lord's side. I'm bringing my family over to the Lord's side. Oh, I feel His presence. He's doing a work today. Let Him do the work around the altars, church. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Why don't you just stand in for that loved one that maybe you feel they've not made that decision. They're not on the Lord's side. Would you take them to the Lord in prayer this morning? Maybe they're ones you forgot about, God forbid, but maybe they've not been on your mind or on your heart. May you ask God to speak through your life to enable them to make a decision. They've got to choose a side. They've got to choose a side. And they're going to choose Jesus. Why? Because your prayers are going to be heard. Your prayers are going to be answered. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. That's it. That's it. Reach out to Him. Thank You, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I have made my decision. I have staked my claim. I have drawn the line in the sand. And I'll not be ashamed
with the world behind me.
And
and the cross before. By the grace of God, I will serve the Lord.
Hallelujah.